the following episode contains spoilers.
This secret. There's a darkness inside of me. It followed me here. And it's gonna keep coming for us. We share a certain history. This isn't like any other ghost face.
What is this place?
A shrine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scare Traducing, the horror movie podcast for horror movie virgins. I'm Callum McNabb.
And I'm Gisela Martinez.
And this is our third attempt to record this morning because of interruptions and phone calls and nonsense.
And life.
And life. We are here to talk about, I think, the biggest horror release of the year to date. Gisela disagrees.
No, I think the biggest so far is Megan. Okay. Clearly Megan.
Why do you think that?
I mean,
in terms of box office numbers, Megan is ahead.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but Scream 6, which we are talking about today, everybody's been talking about. It's only been out for 10 days and it's closing the gap quickly.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think Megan was everywhere.
It's just because you're on TikTok. That's what it is. You think TikTok.
No. And then, like, you've seen, like, it's going viral in things, and it's been mentioned in the Oscars. It's been mentioned
Was it mentioned at the Oscars?
Megan, yes. When the nominations were, like, on.
The nominations.
Megan. Yeah.
Not the ceremony.
But they didn't mention Scream, the other one, the fifth. No, back then when the word nominations were announced.
Yeah, Scream 6 wasn't out.
No, I'm saying the fifth.
Yes, but that was like a year ago. Megan was this year. So of course they mentioned Megan. Like they mentioned Cocaine Bear at the Oscars. So do you think Cocaine Bear is bigger than Megan?
Okay, and they haven't mentioned this one at all.
No, but so by that logic, you think Cocaine Bear is a bigger horror movie than Megan?
No, but it caused no noise and things like that. And right. I don't know, like it's
which this movie is doing. Everybody's talking about this movie.
Okay, what's the grossing of Cocaine Bear?
I don't know. I didn't go. You want me to check every fucking? I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, I just feel like Megan was way bigger than this. I mean, Megan is going to be the Halloween costume of the year, probably. Pretty sure.
It'll be the new one. Someone will be a ghost face. That's been the case since 1996.
I know.
Will happen.
But that's what I'm, like, trying to fight here. Like, it's
Megan's
just
an
there.
Original.
It's just like, oh, another Scream movie.
Yes.
It's just there.
But right, but that law, then you would expect diminishing returns every time. Like, it's the same. People aren't going again. And we will get into how successful this one has been.
Okay.
So, I think this is the
I'm
biggest.
Just saying
I
Megan.
No, I forgot I about think. Megan. Let's be clear. When you said before we started recording, this is not the biggest. I was like, what is it going to be? Like, I couldn't think of one. As soon as you said Megan, I'm like, fair point. I disagree with it, but it's not like some indie you're throwing out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, what have we seen this year that's been indie? Skinamarink, but that came out last year, everywhere but here. Peril, but that came out last year, everywhere but here. So I'm trying to think what else we've seen this year that's 2022. It's Megan and Cocaine Bear, really, I think.
Adult and a bear.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't need to go through my thoughts on the Scream franchise as a whole. Certainly not yet. Because we spoke about it last year with Scream 2022, also known as Scream 5. But for anyone who didn't listen to that episode, doesn't know anything about us, this is my favourite horror franchise of all time. I love the Scream franchise. Gisela, not too hot
it's
on
okay.
it.
It's okay. I know what I'm getting, you know? Like, I'm not. It's one of those franchises. I think it's strong as all of them are entertaining.
Yeah.
All of them are, like, it's the same formula. So I know what I'm getting. I know it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like when you go to a McDonald's in in the States, and then you go in the UK, and then you go to Germany. All of them, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
They kind of taste the same. It must like be different because in Germany we don't use ketchup with that much sugar, and in the UK the mustard is slightly different, but it's kind of the same. It's just a little bit of variation. So I think it's just
I know what you're gonna get. Well, this time you're gonna get the very first Scream film without Neve Campbell as Sydney Prescott, who has been in every Scream movie prior to this, which we won't get into because everybody already knows the story. She was initially supposed to appear, then contract negotiations broke down, and Neve Campbell basically turned down the offer, said that it didn't match what she felt she was worth to the franchise. So it's the first film that's not got Sydney Prescott, and I think that kind of works in its favour, I'd say. So if we go, Scream 5 is the first one that wasn't directed by Wes Craven because he died.
Mm-hmm.
Scream 5, by the way, this will have spoilers for 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. Like, all the Scream franchises getting spoiled, so who cares? But Scream 5 killed Dewey Riley, David Arquette's character. So this means this is the first one without Dewey in it. So it's the first one without Dewey, without Sydney, and the second one without Wes Craven. So really, it's only Courtney Cox as Gail Weathers who's the legacy returning. They get some characters from 4, but it's the first one. I think that works going forward in terms of you can't keep bringing the same people back alive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. The reason why Sydney isn't in this movie, I think, follows logically, because if you remember in Scream 5, she starts the movie, she's like, I'm not going there. Why would I ever go there? Every time I turn up, fucking something happens. I'm safe. And the only reason she comes back is because one of our closest friends gets killed. And she's like, right, I need to end this.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good reason to bring her back. But this movie, when they say, Sydney's safe, she's going to take the kids and she's going to be safe, she's not coming, I'm like, yeah, that follows. That's the logic you established in the previous movie. And the only thing that will bring her back is if someone dies. And, spoiler alert, nobody really dies. I think it works. I think if they want to bring Neve Campbell back for 7 and they offer her more money or whatever, I think people would be relatively happy with that. But I don't think they need to.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, oh, she was missing, you know?
No.
Like, carry on, that's fine.
You get a new... You've had 5 movies.
She's already, like, I feel like it's a character already suffered too much. He lost so many things.
Yep.
It's like, let her rest.
Yes.
I mean, and now if you think us, the actress, like, she doesn't get enough money, like, to represent her worth in the franchise. That's sad because, look, they just move on.
Yes.
Like, I think that's her. Maybe in the future when they're doing the 20th movie, she's going to come back as, okay, maybe, like, we need to do the anniversary thing or whatever. They are going to think more about the money there. But I think for the studio, for the production company, whatever, they think, like, we easily can carry on.
Yes, they can. They've got their new core characters. I don't think they'll bring Sydney back to kill her. That won't happen. And I don't think they'll bring Sydney back to be a ghost. That'll never happen. I think Scream is not a nasty, particularly, franchise. It's quite sentimental, like quite loving of horror. It's quite loving of fan favorite characters and things like that. It's good fun.
Yeah.
But it's not cruel. So I think Sydney Prescott as a character, for the moment, gets her happy ending, and if she's back in Scream 7, I'm pretty confident she's going to survive if that happens. Like, they're not going to bring her back to kill her, mainly because I think Wes Craven is dead, and Wes Craven would never kill Sydney Prescott in his life. And Kevin Williamson is still alive, but doesn't really write them anymore. I don't think he would ever kill Sydney Prescott, so I think, yeah, if you're going to take on these, kill your own characters that you came up with. Don't kill someone else's. Yeah. Anyway, they killed Dewey in the last one, but that made sense in terms of how to get Sydney back, and I thought it was quite cool. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, we've got our new core 4, which are Tara, played by Jenna Ortega, Sam, played by Melissa Barrera. Mindy, played by Jasmine Savoy Brown, I believe. And her brother Chad.
I love him.
Who's played by Mason Gooding.
Love him.
They've come up with their new nickname, which is the Core Four. Yeah. And that's the four that are in this movie alongside some new friends. And oh, they've moved to New York and it's happening
My
again.
Favorite are those siblings.
Mindy and Chad.
Yeah, I love them. They're like so much fun.
So, we should talk about, as I said at the start of the episode, I think it's been the biggest horror movie of the year so far. Zella disagrees. Why do I think that? Well, because it's been a fucking huge success. That's why. So let's just say some bullet points of success.
Oh.
$44.5 million opening weekend in the USA, which is the record for the franchise.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Currently made $116 million worldwide. The lowest before that was Scream 4, which made $97 million. So it's already $20 million ahead of the lowest.
Oh, wow.
And the question I am thinking, can it beat the best? The biggest of the series so far is still Scream 1, $173 million. It's on 116 in 10 days. Can it beat it?
Oof.
It'll beat Scream 5. Scream 5 is like 138, so it's got like another 20 to go.
Mm-hmm.
It'll beat Scream 5. But yeah, Scream 6 has been out for 10 days and already is not the lowest grossing in the franchise.
Wow.
Which is a shame because I really like Scream 4. But anyway, what else has been a success? Well, the reviews as they've come in. This is as of today, March 20th. Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 77%, which is the third highest in the franchise. Audience score Rotten Tomatoes, 92%. That's the highest in the franchise.
Oh.
Metacritic, 61%. Third highest in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb, 7.2 out of 10. Second highest in the franchise. Letterboxd, 3.8 out of 5. Second highest in the franchise. I also listened to some podcasts. I've listened to so many reviews to try and see what people are thinking about this movie because I have some opinions. I want to see if people share these opinions. So Cast Me to Hell podcast, they did a review. Their two hosts, Seb and Rob, they had it ranked third and fourth between the two of them. I can't remember which one was which. So I Married a Horror Fan, that podcast, they have two hosts. They ranked it third and fourth.
Oh, okay.
We Love Horror podcast, I don't think has done a podcast on it yet, but they did an Instagram review. They have it ranked number three. So we're sort of between second, third, and fourth between critics, fans, podcasts. We sort of jump between two. So there's six films, and we sort of jump between two, three, four. My question is that across the board genuine, or is that just people on the hype train? Is it people who are fans of Jenna Ortega, like giving it 10 out of 10 on IMDb to bump its score, 5 out of 5 on Letterboxd? Not that the podcasts we talked about aren't genuine, but like, are some of the online scores, like 92% fan score on Rotten Tomatoes, highest in the franchise. That's crazy. So I'm wondering how it'll do in the next few years. Mm. You know how like a movie can find its audience and its score bumps?
Yeah.
Like a cult hit?
But
Can the opposite be true? Or will it stay the same? Who knows?
Again, I don't think like this fans or, again, I'm not part of any like fan club yes, but I will never just go into Rotten Tomatoes and like, oh, I need to subscribe. I don't know what you do to do that.
You don't think people do that?
No. I don't know. No. I don't know how to do it. I don't know if I need to subscribe. I need to just log in and put my score or if I need to be verified. No. I just think it's like too much effort for like, you know? Like,
yeah, but the stands do it. The two people that do it are the stands. So in this case, it would be like Jenna Ortega stands. Or
yeah, but she doesn't have like a massive
Hold on. And also, but the other crowd that do it as the opposite are like the sort of the anti-woke police. So like anytime a movie's got like a black lead and they'll just be like 0 out of 10 and they bring the score down, they review bomb it. That's like, the opposite.
Like for example,
which has not happened in this case.
What was Don't Worry Darling?
Yeah.
I remember people saying, okay, a lot of people is going to see it because of Harry Styles. But they didn't go to the the proper scores and anything to make it way better. Because I don't feel like they do that. They just only go and support the project to see it. I'll give you my money. But to do a review like, oh my God, it's the best. They don't. I don't feel, at least having that example.
Like, Don't Worry Darling I mean, let's see. I mean, you want to compare its Rotten Tomatoes critic score with its audience score? Its critic score is 38%.
Mm-hmm.
Its audience, but again, you got to remember that some audience members are going to just be genuinely reviewing it. So, like, some people will give actual reviews.
But I'm
reviews.
Saying, like, you will see a massive jump.
Yeah. There you go. 38% critic score. 74% audience score.
Well, that's not 91, like, not 94, like,
yeah, but you got to be 60 to be positive. 74% of people liked Don't Worry, Darling.
I liked it, and I'm not a Harry fan.
No, you're a Florence Pugh stan, though.
But I didn't. But I didn't go and put Florence Pugh.
That to me is a perfect case of people bumping that score. Don't Worry, Darling is interesting, but not great.
I really like.
Like now, I want to know: is that higher than what was the previous movie she made? Booksmart. Yeah, that was the same director. What's her name? Olivia Wilde.
Oh.
Which is a way better film, and people liked that way more.
Was that the police guy?
What police guy?
My policeman. It was the name of the...
So Booksmart has 77% audience score. So only 3% more. Despite the fact that basically every critic in the world has thought it's because of Harry Styles. You can't deny that. Anyway, the stands do log in and give their movies.
I didn't know they do that.
And I would say that I feel this way particularly strongly about Scream 6. Because I've seen it twice now, and Isella knows what I'm going to say. This is my least favourite of the franchise. This is my number 6.
Well, I said to you when we came out from the cinema, I said, I like it more than the other one. Meaning...
5.
5. And you were like, oh no, what? And I was like, yeah! We're about to divorce me or something. Like,
No. I still like this movie. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't like this movie.
You did say that, but I was like, yeah, I thought it was more fun, more like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I just liked it more than the 5th.
I would like to know a bit more why. So, like, I watched all of them in the run up to this movie.
Oh, yes, I know.
And then I started even watching the MTV TV series, but I haven't got through that yet. So, I've seen season 1 and 2. I've not seen season 3 in my life. But when I was doing the rewatch, I'm halfway through season 2 right now. So I'll probably finish that at some point, but they're separate. They don't have anything to do. But yeah, I still like this movie. I love this franchise. I don't think there is a bad movie in the Scream franchise. I think you range from good fun to one of the greatest movies of all time. That's basically the range you're in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think this movie stays in that range. It still comes under good. I watched it again. I went to the cinema twice to see it. I will buy it. I enjoy this movie. But if you're going to tell me that it's the second highest in the franchise according to IMDb, it's the highest of the franchise according to Rotten Tomatoes, I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the weakest Scream. And I hope
just go that to I your can... Bo- to I the hope, bottom.
So my ranking is from top to bottom. Top number one, obviously. We saw that in cinemas last year, if you remember, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We went on a re-release. And that movie still plays like gangbusters. That still has the audience in its palm of its hand. Great movie. So number one, top. Number two... Number 5, I think number 5 is an excellent reintroduction. Number 4, number 3, and number 6, right at the bottom.
Wow. Oh, no.
So, yeah, as I say, I do want to clarify, I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think that Scream, as my all-time favourite franchise, basically, it has a lot to live up to. And I think this movie... So, for example, people say this movie's better than Scream 5 because the set pieces are bigger, there's more budget, there's more blood, there's more gore, there's more tension, whatever. I can see the argument they're making, and we'll get into it. I don't think any of the set pieces are filmed particularly well. So, like, the set pieces are bigger, they're in bigger locations, they're in, or supposed to be in New York, but I don't think the directors know how to frame the set pieces. Especially in comparison to how Wes Craven would film the set pieces in something like Scream 1 or Scream 2. So I'm immediately like, the set pieces, I don't think they're as big a positive as people are saying they are. Scream 5's positive is, I can understand why the set pieces are smaller in Scream 5. Because one, you've got to introduce all new characters. You've got the core four of new characters. You've got to introduce them. You've got to bring the old gang back. You've got to get people invested in a way that's going to make sense to new fans, because as we say, it's a, quote, requel. I hate that term. It's a legacy sequel. But anyway, in the terminology of the movie, world or of the Scream world, it's Requel. So we got to get people interested in the old characters, even if they've never seen Scream 1, 2, 3, and 4, because we know this is going to bring a new audience in. And we've just got to get people to care about them, and we've got to make it interesting, and we've got to have something new to say about the horror genre or fandom or something to satirize, because that's what Scream does. Is Scream takes the piss, Scream points out things that are funny or weird or, you know, something about horror that people get overly obsessed with, etc.
Yeah.
And I think it's got strong aspects in all three of those, and the casting, not just of the characters, not just coming up with the new characters, but the casting of them, I think, is bang on. Jenna Ortega, Jasmine Savoy Brown, Melissa Barrera, who we like, everybody seemed to hate in Scream 5, but I remember thinking was like not a problem. And Mason Gooding as his LLR.
They seem
said,
don't
loves,
like her.
No, they do now after 6, but people hate her after 5. I think it does a good job in terms of casting those new characters.
But I also think she got into a controversy about when she was doing In the Heights.
Yeah, but that's separate. People didn't like her performance in Scream 5.
This privileged girl, and then cop and Scream, and then,
yeah.
I think it was kind of mixed with that.
So I think Scream 5's basically got a lot on its plate to do. And if you say, well, the set pieces suffer, okay, well, something's got to suffer because we're mixing everything together and we're trying to make it solid. And I think it does it really, really well. Solid, simple kills, but solid. Scream 6 now has more money to play with. And I think with that extra money and with 5 having been the success that it was, comes a higher expectation. And I don't think Scream 6, for me, quite hit that expectation, which we will get into.
Mm-hmm.
So, directed by Matt Bettolini-Olpin and Tyler Gillett, who are part of the Radio Silence team, who made the previous film in the franchise, as we've already mentioned. Some other films they've made are Devil's Due in 2014, which means Zilla saw in Canada, Ready or Not in 2019.
I love that movie.
And the final segment from the first VHS movie, which is called 10-31-98.
Oh, that we haven't
so
seen.
So we've started watching... We have seen...
Oh, that one. That 10 one.
No.
So, that's what I'm saying. We haven't seen that one.
That's the name of the segment. The story.
Oh.
So it's in the first VHS movie.
Oh.
And the tape that they watch, like they've all got different, the stories have all got different names. And theirs is called 10-31-98. It is the one where four guys go to a Halloween party. They end up in an empty house.
Oh, yeah. And there's
it's
like
all
a,
like, there's some ritual going on. There's hands coming out of the walls. They made that as well. They made that segment.
Oh, okay.
We're currently sort of slowly going through the VHS franchise.
Yeah, why? Because one day I was like, oh, I think I've seen it. And you're like, no, you haven't. Yes, I've seen it. And we just started watching it. Like, oh, no, I haven't seen it. But I do like the concept of three or four different
anthology
stories.
Yeah.
And just like, if I don't like one, next.
Yeah.
Because I know it's really short. Okay, next. And
so we've seen four of them. I think there's one more to go.
Yeah. And I do like them, but I mean, I totally respect to put those ideas out there. And like, some of them are so fucking weird, but and some of them are like, ooh, this should be a proper movie. But yeah.
Yeah, so they made that as well. So it also written by James Vanderbilt and Guy Busick, same writing team from last time. So it's the same creative forces who made Scream 5. I have no problems with that because, as I said, I think Scream 5 successfully brings the franchise into 2022. It brings everything back. It brings old fans. It brings new fans. It's a success. So if you're going to give anyone a chance to make Scream 6, might as well be the guys that did, I think, really, really well with Scream 5. Obviously, as we've already mentioned, Neve Campbell's not in it. And it is the first time it's ever been in New York, which we will get into as well. So, normally in this podcast, we also suggest where you should go next. I think it's kind of hard to do in this case because why would anyone have watched this movie if they've not seen Scream 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
Exactly.
Like, why would you see Scream 6? I understand why you would have seen Scream 5 because, as I say, it brings in a whole new cast of characters. It acknowledges that this might be a jumping on point for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start at 5, which is just called Scream. But I don't get why you would start at 6. I really, really don't know why you would get start at 6. Because the one thing that's interesting is it's the survivors that come back. It's not always Michael Myers in the mask. It's not the killer. So the sequels have got to come up with new ways to connect the dots to the previous films. Why are the same people being targeted again, mm-hmm. even though the killers were killed last time or unmasked? So it's got to come. It's kind of like a soap opera at this point. And to that point, we have a friend, a former co-worker of mine, who is not a horror fan, who went to see this movie because I asked for voice notes. I said, I want to know what people think about this movie, because I came out of the movie and I basically was like, this is the worst in the franchise. Everyone's going to agree with me. And then nobody agrees with me. So I was like, I need voice notes from people. I need to understand what they think about the movie. What's going on? What am I missing? And friend and former co-worker Hannah Ashby from New Zealand, but lives in Scotland, said, I am going to go and see Scream 6 just so I can send you a voice note. I have not seen any of the previous Scream movies. I'm not a horror fan. Didn't know that the killers were different in every movie. Didn't know that the movies were meta, like, that they comment on the rules of horror films.
So basically, she's just a good friend.
Didn't know anything about the franchise. And decided to go and see Scream 6. So here, as an exclusive, is her review of what she thought of Scream 6.
Hi, Scare Introducing. This is my review of Scream 6. I went to see it having not seen any of the other previous films, which I realise now is a terrible mistake. But this is what I thought of it. The cinema experience in itself was incredibly overwhelming. It was my first ever time going to the super screen. And I incredibly underestimated how big the super screen actually is. It's absolutely enormous. And there was only maybe like 15 other people in the entire cinema. And I think it seats like 676. While being incredibly confused about what's going on, I was also incredibly overwhelmed by the size of the room that I was in, and the fact that there were so few other people around me. So not only was it hard to follow the story because I had no idea what was going on, it was also hard to follow the story because I was incredibly overwhelmed by my surroundings. I just found it really confusing because there was a lot of references, obviously, to the past five films, which would make sense because it's a franchise and you want to be able to follow the story. And my only knowledge of Scream is what happens in scary movies, like, you know, Scary Movie 1, 2 and 3. All of the references that are in those are the only references that I, like, know and get. And obviously, like, to quote Callum, it's like a hat on a hat. So, yeah, I didn't understand who any of the people were. I didn't know who any of the previous killers were. I didn't get any of the references. It got really meta at one point where the girl was, like, explaining who's going to die next, how it's going to happen. And I'm just sitting there, like, incredibly overwhelmed by the room that I'm in, and also like, what the fuck is going on here? Just very confused. There were some good parts. I did get I'm not like a jump scare person. I don't like being scared, but there were some good bits with like particularly gunshots that made me jump, like the scene in the apartment, and there's a scene in the bodega. They both got me, and I had a little laugh to myself, like, oh, look at me. Also, I didn't realize, I looked up the rating for the film, and it said online that it was a 15, and I was like, sweet ass, I'll be fine, because I'm not like a horror movie person. And then I got to the cinema and it was like, oh, 18, and I was like, holy shit, I fucked up big time. Not only am I in the fucking super screen, but it's way scarier than what I thought it was gonna be. And of course, that also meant all of the trailers that I had to watch at the start were also like R18 films, so that was brilliant. That was just perfect for me as somebody who doesn't like horror. Would I go and see the other Scream films based on Scream 6 alone? I don't know, I guess. I feel like I should probably see them anyways, just because of like they're massive, like they're huge, like pop culture, like like they had such an impact on pop culture, and they're like referenced everywhere. Like the Ghostface mask is iconic. I feel like I should probably just watch them anyways. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad film. I feel like I just fucked myself over by watching number six first. Or is my confusion better than disappointment? Because I've heard that people who have seen the previous five films haven't necessarily enjoyed the sixth one. So yeah, maybe I'm better to be confused than disappointed. Who knows? Anyways, thanks for listening to my review. Love you. Bye.
So thank you, Johanna, for sending that.
First of all,
I have no idea why she chose to go and see it in Super Screen. No idea at all. That seems like it would be, for a non-horror fan, for someone who's not seen any of the films before, far too overwhelming to try and wrap your head around. But that's the decision that she made. I did not tell her to go and see it in Super Screen. I just said, go and see it. I would recommend to watch maybe the other ones, even though they've now been spoiled. Because
at this point, I feel like you have something on her, because why'd you do this?
The only thing that I said, and also, just to clarify, at one point in her review, she quotes me the term a hat on a hat. I obviously did not come up with that term. I don't know why she uses a quote with me, but anyway. The only way I said I would make her sound less like an idiot is that I would tell the Old Zealand story. Do you know the Old Zealand story?
No.
So she's from New Zealand. Uh-huh. We worked in Scotch Water at the time.
I think I know, yeah.
And then I can't even remember what we were talking about. There was about a bunch of us sitting at the desk. We're sitting talking. And then I made a joke about Old Zealand, like as opposed to New Zealand, Old Zealand. I can't remember who I said it to, but Hannah was next to me or in front of me or something. And without like even a gap, like no blinks of an eye, nothing, she just turned around and was like, yeah, that's true, blah, blah, blah. And I was just immediately like, that was way too quick for her to have thought about a joke. So I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I was just joking. Like, is there actually a place called Old? And then she just burst out laughing. She's like, you fucking idiot. Basically. I was like, for a brief 5 seconds until she started laughing. I genuinely was like, oh shit, I fucked up. There is a place called Old Zealand.
Is it a place called Zealand?
Is there a place called Zealand? Uh-huh. As far as I'm aware, no, but I'll leave that to Hannah.
Because, I mean, there's a place called York, and then it's New York.
Yeah.
And there's Boston and Boston. I mean, it's not New Boston.
It's not New Boston, though.
No, but it's like, you know, like a lot of places also in Australia are called like places here. Mm-hmm. So just sort of call it New Zealand. This must be a Zealand.
I'm saying nothing. I already got caught out with the old Zealand. Godzilla, yeah. That's what it is, yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. So, thanks to Hannah for seeing that. Please go and watch the rest of the franchise. I mean, I haven't...
Or at least go and watch the fifth.
Yeah, if you watch the fifth, it will make more sense. But fuck knows why you're going to see Scream 6. We do also have a second voice note from Jonathan Martinez, who was kind enough to send one in. He has his own YouTube channel.
Thank you, cussing.
Same surname for anyone who didn't get that joke. He has his own YouTube channel, which we will put in the link in the show notes. He just watched the whole franchise for the first time and reviewed them on his YouTube channel. So if you want to go and see his thoughts on that, you can. You can see his thoughts on every single one or just certain ones, whatever ones you like. So here's his opinion on Scream 6.
Hey there guys, love the podcast. Jonathan here just giving my thoughts and input to Scream 6. I personally think it was a fantastic film for the franchise. I feel like it lived up to so many expectations. This is coming from a guy who has just watched the Screams for the very first time as well for the past 2 weeks. I can personally say that Scream 6 is definitely up in there in my top three. I personally love the film. I love the gore. I love the gruesomeness. I love the action, the edge of the seat feeling to find out even who the Ghostface killer was. I feel like it was a much more different vibe, like I've said in my first time watches as well, how each Ghostface does his own or her own thing. To compare in each one and say pretty much that they're all the best, there's always one that will be better than the other. I just love how each one was different and how this one pretty much sparked off to pretty much give me more interest into Scream 7. Can't wait to see how Scream 7 goes. Thanks for keeping me in.
So thank you to Jonathan for sending that in. He is from Australia.
Oh my God.
We are super popular in that side of the world, even though Hannah lives here. So if we do not get a bump in numbers from the Southern Hemisphere, I swear to God, it's on them now. It's not on us. But yeah, so Hannah doesn't watch horror films. Jonathan's just watched Scream for the first time. So where can they go next? These are two perfect examples.
This is good.
Who we want to advertise to.
Exactly, because, I mean, they're so new on everything. So I would say,
here's my recommendations. Watch the previous five films in the franchise, Hannah, for fuck's sake. But that'll open up the door to Wes Craven's career, which includes things like Nightmare on Elm Street, The Hills Have Eyes, Last House on the Left, whatever. It opens the door to Kevin Williamson's career, because he was the writer of the first few. He also made, or was involved with, The Faculty, I Know What You Did Last Summer, those sort of movies. He had a new movie out this year called, I want to say it's called Risk, but I'm not too sure. It's on Peacock, which we don't have, so I'll find another way. I hear it's quite good. But yeah, you can go Wes Craven, you can go Kevin Williamson, you can also go Radio Silence, the movies I previously mentioned, Devil's Due, Ready or Not, the VHS movies. But where else could you go? This movie's set in New York. There are fucking tons of movies set in New York, and they don't have to be slashers or satires.
Like Chucky? Is it Chucky in New York?
Is Chucky in New York? I don't think... Oh, good question.
I think it is. I think it's New York.
It might be, but the TV series isn't.
No.
But the first one might be.
No, I think because... I'm pretty sure it's during...
It's an apartment block.
Yeah, in a before Christmas or something.
Anyway, I've got New York horror. So, American Psycho. And that's a satire and kind of a slasher.
No.
Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Oh, that's on my list. Cloverfield, Big Monster in New York.
I thought of a Cloverfield, but then I was thinking, no, that's in a farm. But that's the second one.
That's the second one, yeah. Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. A great horror film, which is not a slasher, but one of the best, set in New York, Rosemary's Baby.
Oh.
Just one of the all-time greats. Obviously, you could do Jason Takes Manhattan, but I've never seen that, so I'm not going to throw it on my list. But I hear that that's not very good. But anyway.
I mean, I'm thinking New York, and the only thing that comes to my head... No, but I mean, comes Home Alone. It's the second one, right?
Yeah, Lost in New York.
And they have Avengers.
Neither of which are horror.
It's the only things I can think. I'm like...
Right, interesting. Because my point is that I am sick of New York as a movie location. I hate that Scream went to New York. Because I'm like, if everyone's done New York...
Tucson!
If I can go to Arizona or something, exactly.
To Albuquerque or something like that.
Now, it's not the first Scream movie to leave Woodsboro. Obviously, Scream 2 takes place at college, university. Scream 3 takes place in Hollywood. But it is the first time we've moved to like a proper fucking big city with big streets and alleyways and apartment blocks and whatever. But yeah, as I say, I am sick of New York, but I will admit that New York, New Rules is a great tagline for a movie. So points on that, and I'm taking them away from New York because I'm bored of New York. Sorry.
Okay.
Right, let's get very briefly into the movie, why I like or dislike. One, Scream always opens with an opening kill or action set piece. Mm-hmm. Scream 1, it's Drew Barrymore. Scream 2, it's Jada Pinkett Smith in the cinema. Scream 3 is kind of boring. Scream 4 has the double fake out, which I like. And Scream 5 is Jenna Ortega. And the twist on that was that she survived.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't die. So what's the twist on this time? Well, first of all, it is with Samara Weaving, who was in Ready or Not, who was the main bride in Ready or Not. So she's teaming up.
Love her.
With that again. And she is using her Australian accent for once. Yes. She gets to speak in her actual voice. She is the opening set piece kill. She's in a bar. She gets a phone call. The guy is a bit lost. She goes outside to try and find him, down a dark alleyway, and then boom, he's in the alleyway. It's a deliberate setup. He's there to kill her. And this is the best use of New York, in my opinion, because it makes use of dark alleyways. It makes use of the fact that people are walking past the alleyways making noise, mm-hmm. which kind of covers the fact when she's screaming being killed, like people aren't looking up the alleyways. And if they are, you kind of just like, what's good? Like, you know, people ignore the dangers. It's between this and the subway sequence. Yeah. Those are the two best uses of New York, in my opinion. Anyway, she gets killed. And then the twist on this one...
Is that you see...
Is that it? As soon as he does the final stab...
He take off the mask and you
normally
see who the person
Normally it cuts to the title, Scream 6.
Yeah.
But this time we hold, and I knew immediately... I think every Scream fan knows immediately. The minute they hold and they haven't gone straight to credits, something's up here. He's going to take the mask off. Like, there's a reason we're holding on him. Boom, mask comes off. We see the killer. And you're like, holy shit. Are we going to know who the killer is throughout the entire movie?
Yeah.
Fucking what a spin. Because every Scream movie, there's the big reveal at the end.
It's basically, that's what the movies are about, like who is the killer.
It's a whodunit, yeah, as well as a slasher. And we see who it is, then we see him get changed, walk back through the streets of New York, nobody knows, he's just murdered someone in an alley, and then as he's walking, who does he bump into? Tara Carpenter, Jenna Ortega herself, and he says hello to her, they talk about the party they're going to, and you're like, holy shit.
He's gonna kill
him. He's gonna know, so he's gonna be in the friend group.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We already know, they know who he is, but he's just murdered someone. This is such an interesting spin. I'm super into this. What the fuck? Because I assume he's not working alone. So are we going to know who one of them is, but not the other?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal here? Because apart from Scream 3, every Scream movie has two killers. He goes back to his apartment, gets a phone call. He thinks it's from his roommate, Greg. They are planning on finishing Richie's film from the previous movie. That's what they're building up to. He said he just wanted to practice. That's why he murdered their film studies professor, who was Samara Weaving. And it was just a case of, like, I just needed to practice. Just like, it had nothing to do with our plan, but I had to get it out of my system to see how it felt like. Turns out he's not speaking to his co-conspirator, Greg. Greg has been butchered and is in the fridge. There's another ghost face out there and kills this guy who's called Jason. And the last line is, Jason says, but what about the movie we're making? And then Ghostface, fuck the movies. Scream 6.
Damn.
And you're like, right, okay, so is this movie going to be, like, is this going to be going to peel back on the meta commentary? Like, that's the twist on this one, is like, who gives a fuck about the movies? Because if you've seen Scream, you know there's a movie within a movie, the Stab franchise. This movie is going to have nothing to do with meta commentary. What's going on? I'm already a bit deflated. Because I'm a bit like, oh, I wish we had known who the killer was. But now it's back to, oh, it's anyone now.
But that's the thing. It's back to the recipe that you always get.
But you got to mix the recipe up sometimes. They kind of did. Yeah, but then they take it away 5 minutes later. God. It's like they have it in their hands and you're they trip so picky. And fall. It's not picky. It's just saying, I think you came up with a better recipe, a better dish, and then you decided to throw it in the bin. That's my opinion. I still like this movie. I just think it could have been something different, more interesting. Anyway, we then are just introduced to our previous Core 4. They are now called the Core 4. They have differing opinions as to whether or not that is an effective nickname or a silly nickname. And they're all living in New York. And let's go for something else positive about the movie. I like how this movie, tackles the criticism of Melissa Barrera head on.
Yeah.
As I said, Scream 5 wasn't popular with fans. She got a lot of shit on Reddit. Her acting was bad and blah, blah, blah. People not fans. This movie, there is a conspiracy on Reddit that she is actually the killer from Scream 5 and framed Richie and Amber.
Basically, she's
canceled. She's responsible. Yeah.
She got cancelled.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that feels a little bit like they saw the criticism from Melissa Barrera and was like, we're going to use that. We're going to take it, but we're going to use
it. Take the name and
that she's not popular on Reddit.
Yeah.
She wasn't popular on Reddit. And I don't know if that's part of why she's popular this time. People think maybe it's a bit brave of a performance. I don't know. But I liked that aspect. I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
Good.
I like that too.
As I say, we've already agreed. We like the Core 4. I think they're a good group of buddies.
Yeah. Oh, I love, again, my favorites are the siblings.
Why are they your favorites?
I don't know. I like the girl. Like, she's always like, she knows about movies. She tells you this. She thinks she knows everything. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this is how it's going to be.
Right.
And I was like, no, this is life.
But the twist is that she doesn't always get it right. That's the twist. Yeah, exactly.
And then the other guy, he's so sweet and handsome. That's all.
Mason Gooding.
Yes, I think he's really handsome.
Do you buy his romance with Jenna Ortega? Because I've seen different opinions online between this.
Okay, now that you are actually mentioning
it. Or does it come a bit out of nowhere?
I think comes out of nowhere.
I would agree with that.
But I can understand, like, okay, look, I feel like it's more like an older brother that is protecting her. But he is mixing those feelings like, well, I think because that's all it's here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be together.
Okay.
I just feel something more like that situation, but it comes from nowhere. It's like, look, it's only the four of us here. This is my sister, and the other one is way older for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, Melissa Barrera is older.
So
yeah.
there's only you left, and I always protecting you. We're always in this kind of scenarios. I think
you say always.
Together.
At this well, moment in time, they've only been in it once.
Well, okay,
they're about
two movies,
to be in it
yes,
time.
But it's always there protecting her, and I feel like it's like no, she's more like your sister, mate. Like, stop it. But yeah, it comes from nowhere.
They have new friends. There's always new friends. They have Quinn, who is the roommate of Tara and Sam. They have, I've forgotten her name right now, but there is a girlfriend of Mindy. She's a girlfriend. Can't remember her mm-hmm. character's name. And Ethan, who is Chad's roommate and is like the sort of geeky, lonely, virgin type guy who is like immediate suspect.
Yeah.
Because like, he's the weirdo. But then you're like, but Randy was kind of that character in the original franchise and he was never the killer. In fact, he gets killed in Scream 2. So is this paying homage to that? But then in Scream 4, one of the geeks is the killer. Or is it paying homage to that? Like, you're trying to figure out, is it too obvious or is it a double bluff?
And also we have the boyfriend of...
and of course, Sam has
yeah,
a boyfriend.
Yeah, because in the last one, it was the boyfriend.
It was the boyfriend. It was Richie. Exactly. She's got a new boyfriend who is called Danny, I believe. They just call him Cute Boy, I think, several times.
Yeah.
He's like the handsome, quiet guy who lives across the hall and they don't really speak to him.
But he has access to the window. Yeah. Like they can see kind of each other. So it's like, suspicious.
Suspicious. And at one point, when they hear that the killings have started up again, Chad says that to him, like,
go away.
Go away, like, suspicious new guy. Like, hello, your presence is not
and
welcome.
And he's like,
they
fair
block
enough.
Him out. And he seems to take it quite well. Like, you know what? I'm not going to step on anyone's toes.
Makes sense, yes.
Makes sense. I don't want to be killed and I don't want to be a suspect. I'm going to stay away. Anyway, then obviously killings start happening, set pieces start happening. We get the set piece at the bodega, the corner shop,
mm-hmm.
which is a decent set piece.
Yes.
With Ghostface using the shotgun. And it's the first time, I think, in the franchise that Ghostface has killed random bystanders.
Okay.
Because always in the franchise, it's always been, I'm going to kill this. Like, they're telling a story.
Yeah.
Like, this killing leads to this killing leads to that. Like, you're supposed to be this character. Kind of like Cabin in the Woods, you know, like the dumb blonde, the big jock.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to play certain parts, so I'm going to kill you and then kill whoever. This is the first time they've just... But that's because you're in New York. You're going to bump into random people. They're going to get in your way. And he's got to take them out. And he takes out like three or four people.
But
it's fine.
But I feel like when you said, well, we discussed like the use of New York and blah, blah, in mm-hmm. this movie. They didn't like take advantage of it. I think they do. Like, for example, the whole piece in the bodega.
Yeah. What we would call a corner shop here.
Yeah, it's just...
what do you call it in Mexico?
We call it...
Oxxo.
Yeah. No, what I wanted to say is like, it takes a lot of time to people to realize there's something happening. If you start hearing like gunshots and everything, that's so New York. Like things happen and nobody... people just keep walking. It's like, it's another thing. Oh, I'm not getting involved on that. You know, people is so unaware of what's happening around. Like, so what, like, the killer goes inside, starts stabbing, take a gunshot,
yeah,
fire a couple
yeah
of people. But that time, if that happens here
yeah
in Glasgow, everywhere, like, there's something there, something happened there, go. And like that, police and everything.
But the police do show up.
No, but here it takes like, what, like 10 minutes?
No, it's not that long. The scene isn't that long.
I think it's quite long, but again, it's like, that's use of New York, because it's like a big city where nobody, like, there's shots or, okay, like, noises all around, and then we have other scenes, like, in the train, and you're like, how nobody's gonna notice
No, I agree, that's fine.
And it's like this,
like,
I think there's a lot of things
okay
happening that can cover for all this murders and things
I
like
would
that
agree with that, but the next two action set pieces after that are the ladder set piece, mm-hmm, going from one apartment to the other one. That's in an apartment. It doesn't really take use of New York because they're in an apartment. They're in a private residence. Who's going to hear them? They're screaming, but they could
again
be having a party. They could be, you know, people are going to not
but
pay attention.
But that's the thing, like, oh, it's just people. If we hear people screaming in our flats,
yeah,
we will be like, what the fuck is
right
going
but hold
on?
Hold on. There have been times in other Scream movies where someone's been in a house and been screaming and being killed and they've ignored it in Woodsboro, a small sleepy town. You're in a private residence, people are not going to get involved. Yeah, I can understand that. That's not specifically a city problem. And then Gail Weathers, her set piece is in her like really fancy penthouse.
Oh, I know, I like that penthouse.
But I like the penthouse as
like
well.
Like, she runs and runs, like, how many miles have you run in this
penthouse? But it's not
taking
advantage of New York as a location.
But I think already, like, with those two pieces, that's fine. That's enough. Don't you think?
That's where I disagree.
Oh.
I think their biggest set piece should be, I don't know, should be using the location better. I don't know. But even if you say they do use the locations well, I still think they film the set pieces like shit. There's lots of handheld cameras. There's lots of close-up shots. There's no, James Wan geography.
Oh,
there's no space.
I love that. Yeah.
Wes Craven was a master at that. James Wan is a master at that. Yeah. Jordan Peele's actually really fucking good at it. Put the camera back. Show us where we are. Show us where we can go. Show us where we've been. And the camera glides. This movie, the camera is up in the character's face. You can see the sweat and the blood dripping off. And it's shaking all around. And you're like, okay, it's not incomprehensible in the way that some shaky cam movies were in the mid-2000s. But you're not taking advantage of the space you have available.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like...
I will give you that, yeah.
One of the rules that... Because the rules this time... And also, that's another thing. The rules this time are, we're in a franchise. Okay, this is the sixth movie. Are you not in a franchise already? When does a franchise become a franchise? Well, okay, one, two is a sequel, three is a trilogy, four is a reboot. By five, you're in a franchise. By four, you're in a franchise, really. Six, they've been in a franchise for ages. And then the rules she gives are so similar to Scream 2's rules. Like, that's all I can think about. I'm like, that's the same rules. You bigger budget, bigger body count, bigger, more blood. And I'm like, right, oh, and they're at college. That's Scream 2. Okay, so they're doing like a bit about how this is like a remake of Scream 2. So immediately I'm like, right, Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson, the writer, they are like, we've got more budget to play with. We're going to have more gore. The set pieces, the chases, they're going to be longer. And in Scream 2, well, I think the film isn't as good as Scream 1. It pays off in that respect. The chase scenes are longer. The body count is bigger. The set pieces are bigger to watch. They go to more locations. They go in and out of rooms. The camera holds back. You can see where Ghostface is. You can see where Gail is. Or when they're in the cop car, you know where they are, where they need to get out. I don't know. I think Wes Craven just pays off with the set pieces in Scream 2 more than the Radio Silence guys do in Scream 6, which is my main thing that everybody keeps talking about, the set pieces being bigger. And they are, than Scream 5. But they're filmed like shit, in my opinion. Ooh. No set piece grabs me. Like, none. That's not the strength of this movie, in my opinion.
And
the strength is the characters.
Of the Oscar-winning Callum McNabb. Yeah.
Anyway, we should mention as well Gail's introduction. This is another problem I have. Do you remember how it finishes in Scream 5?
No.
So, obviously, Gail and Dewey have divorced. And Dewey dies.
Oh, okay.
And in the previous movies, Gail has written a book about all the killings. And at the end of Scream 5, she says, maybe this time I won't write a book about it. Maybe I'll write a book about a sheriff who never got quite the success he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Like some life that was lost. Something
nice.
We lost.
Yeah, okay.
We start this movie.
Oh, that
like
she did write that book.
Oh, yeah, you said you were going to write a book. You did write a book. And I'm like, I don't buy that. I get that Gail Weathers is a bitch, but we have this trajectory where she goes, bitch, bit less of a bitch.
And then friend of
and
the...
And then boom, I just lost. Okay, we divorced and we moved apart, but he was still the love of my life. And the reason we divorced wasn't personal reasons, it was professional. He couldn't stay in the city when I wanted to be a journalist. I couldn't stay in Woodsboro where he wanted to be sheriff. They couldn't make the professional and the personal align. And so they separate, but they're not on bad terms. He gets murdered. She kills the people or helps kill the people that murdered him. And then it's like, I'm not going to give them the fame that they want. That's because that's the reason in Scream 5 is we want to remake the original. We want to get the fans back on side. We have to simplify. I'm going to give them a nice story about someone who didn't quite get what they were due. And then this movie is like, so Gail Weathers, you wrote a book about Scream 5 and about the killers and about, and you're like, I'm just like, no, she wouldn't. I don't think she would. I think that is a cheap way to get Gail Weathers back into the story.
I like her character, so.
I mean, I like Gail Weathers as well, but as soon as she turns up and they say that, you said you weren't going to write a book and you wrote a book and here's some quotes that you used. I'm like, well, that's the Scream 2 joke when she takes the piss out of Dewey in her book. Again, you're just doing Scream 2, but it's so easy to be like, well, Gail is a bitch, so Gail is the one that would write the book. And you're like, but you just said in the last movie she wasn't going to do it. You like immediately flip on where you ended and we have no context for why she flipped. Is it money? But she was already working as a journalist. She must have been earning some money.
Well, seeing that penthouse that she has, clearly she got really, really good money for it. She needed to pay for that.
I love Gail Weathers. I love Courtney Cox in this franchise. I just don't buy the way that they bring her back. But it does give her the first ever time where she has a call with Ghostface, which she's never spoken to on the phone. She speaks to him on the phone.
Oh, that's cool.
She gets a chase sequence of herself. She gets some good joke where Gail's always the brains. She's the bitch, but she's the brains. Where she hangs up on Ghostface, which is a great joke. Where she says, like, can you hang on a minute? She pulls the phone away and you hear Ghostface on the phone go, wait, what? Boom, hang up. Big laugh. Good fun. She immediately redials, hears the phone out in the hallway. And then she shoots, like, I know he's out in the hall.
Yeah.
But he still comes in, attacks her because Ghostface is basically invincible. And yeah, she doesn't quite die, but nearly. And then they save her. Blah, blah, blah. So.
Then we have Heidi Panettiere.
She's back from Scream 4. Yes, it was acknowledged in Scream 5 that she survived very briefly. But she's back as Kirby. She's now in the FBI. I guess that makes kind of sense. Because why would she be back in New York?
Yeah.
Because Scream 4 takes place in Woodsboro, so why would she be in New York? Why would she be involved? Because these people are younger than her.
She's FBI, right?
But she's FBI. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
She's interested in Ghostface killings. She's FBI. And I guess there's a bit of a red herring as to, oh, is she maybe actually the killer? Like, is that why she's here? Is her backstory all a lie?
Yeah.
Again, I don't think Scream's cruel enough. Because at one point in this movie, it does try to confirm that. It's like, Kirby went mad and she left the FBI 3 months ago or something. And the movie, and oh, she got us trapped. And the movie's like, that's Kirby. And I was like, nah, you played that way too early. And also it's Scream. Scream's not that nasty. You're not going to bring a fan favourite character back to make them the killer. Because then people will be like, oh, I can't believe they're the killer. And well, what made them go mad?
What's the reason? You always can play with the reason. Okay. So
I think Hayden Panettiere's fine in this movie. I don't think she's great.
Yeah, she's okay, but
she's
yeah,
way
but
better
she's
in Scream
back.
4.
Yeah.
So we might as well get to the reveal then. The reveal in this movie is, in my opinion, probably the worst thing about this movie. We should say three ghost faces for the first time ever, which is cool. Technically four if you include Jason at the start. Technically five if you include the fact that he was working with someone, but we never actually saw it. So there's a lot of ghost faces in this movie. Mm-hmm. That's cool. The ghost faces turn out to be Detective Bailey, who we haven't even spoke about, his daughter Quinn, who we believe to have been murdered earlier in the movie.
Yeah, is the roommate.
Yeah, and Ethan, the other roommate, Chad's roommate. And it turns out that they are Richie's family.
Yeah, like the family.
And it's a revenge ploy. We're not interested in the movies. We're not interested in creating a story. You killed our son.
Yeah, and they made out all the Reddit bad press for Samantha.
Yeah.
So it was like we planned, and then I do like how they explain everything because you know when Mindy says okay we are in a franchise or whatever, and then start kind of like picking one, like of them.
Who's
like
the suspect?
Say like you and like oh that's suspicious the roommate, and then Tara goes oh no but we put the anonymous ad. But I can't remember now why she says, like, oh, it was so easy to track.
Yeah, I can't remember, actually.
And I was like, oh, because I was like, no, that was anonymous.
Yeah.
But she does say something. I was like, oh, okay. I remember being like, oh, okay. Like,
right.
Makes sense. And then, yeah, it's just basically a family being mad at them for their stupid son. But
But can you guess, just guess, which previous Scream movie has used that as a reason for Ghostface?
No, I can't because I can't remember.
Yeah, but just guess.
One.
No, why would there be revenge?
Okay,
one?
Two.
Correct. What movie have I been comparing this to throughout the episode?
Well, I don't know.
Scream 2. And okay. The revenge, that's Mrs. Loomis in Scream 2, the reveal. You killed my son in Scream 1. You killed Billy. You killed my boy. So I'm going to kill you. Who gives a fuck about the movies? And she kills Mickey, the other ghost face. The movies, that's so stupid. I'm just here for revenge. And this one is like, you killed our son. You killed our brother. You killed... And I'm like, this is Scream 2. We're doing Scream 2. So we are doing Scream 2. Okay. If anyone's like, maybe you're tying it up to Scream 2 too much. Nope, the film is doing that deliberately, consistently, and it is nowhere near as good. That's on the film. That's not on me.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would say is interestingly ridiculous about this movie, and a lot of people have criticized this, is the plot armor.
What's that?
As in, we need people to survive.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have them get stabbed a bunch of times, but we need them to survive, because we want them in Scream 7.
Okay.
So... Chad should die. Chad should have died in Scream 5. How many times does he get stabbed?
Well, he's so handsome, he can survive.
No, but he should die for that. Mindy should probably die. Look at that stomach stabbing in the subway. It's right in her gut.
Okay, fair enough. But there are the four core.
Tara gets stabbed right in the gut. And again in the back. Nothing. No problems. The movie... And that's the thing where it's like, oh, at the end, oh, what a twist. We said we were all going to die, but we all survived. Isn't that fucking hilarious? That's the twist.
And well, I'm
like,
it is hilarious.
But then I'm like, right, but Sydney, Dewey, and Gail survived 1, 2, 3, and 4. Not 5, because Dewey died. So they survived 4. So it's not really a twist to keep your core characters alive. Randy dies in Scream 2. But Scream 3, all the core people survive. Scream 4, all the core people survive. Don't say Cotton Weary, because in Scream 3, he is not a core character. So it's not a new twist to say, oh, the core team that we built this franchise around, haha, what a surprise. But what this movie does do is it fucking guts them in half and then keeps them alive. You're like, hold on a second.
I hope if something like that happens to me,
when Chad was getting stabbed, you nearly started, you out loud said, oh,
I know,
because you thought he was dead.
Oh, because they were going for it with a fucking knife. It was like a sore.
Exactly. So I was like, he should have died based on, or just don't show him get stabbed that much.
Yeah.
If you're going to show him get stabbed that much, you got to follow through
with
it.
Just stab him and leave him and run. Right,
exactly.
No, they were going like, let's see what's around here.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking pulling his heart.
Yeah, where's the lung? I went out of his pocket.
To be fair, to most fans, most people have criticized that. They've been like, it does seem a little bit silly at this point. Like, we're just stabbing people for fun. And there's no... Because at the end of the movie, Mindy's running around and her excuse is, I'm on so much drugs. And you're like, wait a second. You got fucking a knife right to the middle of the stomach. And this is like, what, 6, 7 hours later? Tara in the first movie got stabbed... And she was in the hospital for half the movie. Like, what's the logics here? What are we doing? So I have fun with this movie. I think it's got some
so
good jokes.
Fun.
We watched it in a packed cinema.
Yeah.
The audience, palm of its hand. Like, people were quiet. We saw Cocaine Bear at a really empty screening and it was more disruptive. Put it that way.
Yeah.
People love Scream. People are invested in Scream. People are interested. And this movie does a decent job of grabbing people into... What's going to happen? Who's going to get killed in this set piece? Who's going to die here? Blah, 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 blah. Who is it? Blah, whatever. It does a fine job. It works for the audience. All I'm saying is it doesn't do it as well as the other movies. And I think if you're asking me legitimately, going on to Scream, because Scream 7 is going to happen. This movie's been a success. I'm saying, say, thank you, Radio Silence. Bye-bye. And give it to someone else. I like what they've done with the franchise, especially their casting. As I say, the casting of the four characters has been magnificent. Like, there's nobody there. There are people are like, it was Melissa Barrera, where people are like, don't really like her, but it's not anymore. People are like, she's cool. And she looks great covered in blood, which is what you need from a final girl. You need someone that looks fucking cool and badass when they're covered in blood. And in this movie, she does. So they've done great things with the franchise. They've done interesting things. They've made it solid fun and they've brought it back into the public consciousness. I would say either, do I give them one more shot? Maybe. But after 7, take a break, because Scream needs to comment on horror as a genre.
Mm-hmm.
and there hasn't been much of a change since last year to this year. Like, what are you commenting on? Like, in the last one you were commenting on, oh, we brought Halloween back, we brought Candyman back, we brought Child's Play back to the TV. Like, everyone's coming back. What are we doing this time? Not really anything, because we keep saying fuck the movies, and really we're doing Scream 2 again, so we're doing our own thing again. So what do you do for Scream 7? There hasn't been enough change. What's the change in horror? The change is, like, that fucking horror's gone mad, because we've got Cocaine Bear, we've got Megan, we've got Malignant. Like, horror's just gone gonzo mad. So maybe... But how do you do that in a slasher? You don't.
No, because slashers, it's that formula that makes you happy and comfortable, and you know what you're getting, and they need to exist like this.
But they always comment on how slashers are evolving throughout cinema.
Evolving a little bit.
But they haven't changed...
No, and it's going to stay like that. It's a genre that should stay like that, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I think slashers now, the modern classics mm-hmm. that aren't based on previous, like, oh, Halloween's back.
Yeah, I know
back.
What you did.
Yeah, none of that. No. Way more modern, like the last 10 years.
Okay.
That have got nothing before them. The modern classics are Don't Breathe.
Okay, go.
Which is the blind guy. Happy Death Day.
Oh, I love that.
Which is like time travel and Groundhog Day.
I love it.
Freaky.
Uh-huh.
Which is the body switch horror with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to make a slasher movie in the 2010s, or you're going to comment about slashers in the 2010s, it needs to be high concept. It needs to be, we're mixing slashers with someone who's blind, and your sympathies change throughout the movie, who you want. Or do we have time travel involved? Or do we have body switching involved? You can't really do that in Scream, but that is what slashers have been for the last, the best ones. The other good ones are all based on,
but you also
it's Halloween again, or it's Chucky again.
You also need to target new generations with, look, this is what it is. And that's
what I'm saying. So,
just leave it like that. Like, don't change the formula. Let other things be different.
But,
like,
but Scream comments
that.
On the formula being changed. Because horror does always change.
Yes.
So Scream always mentions, like, they should have done maybe they shouldn't have done a torture porn film, but that was maybe what 2011 could have been. Was like, huh, fucking everything's Saw and Hostel nowadays. But they didn't do that in 2011, but they could have. Now, what do you do? As I say, horror now is either these high concept slashes, or it's gonzo, or it's super indie, like A24.
Mm-hmm.
But again, how do you work that in a Scream movie? You don't. You work in a slasher formula, and the mainstream slashers right now that you can do in a quote-unquote realistic way are all just the Halloweens of the world, which you've already done. It's the ones I already mentioned. You've already done them. The Candymans. You've done it. You commented on it already. So what are you saying meta-textually in Scream 7 that you're not going to say in Scream 6, that you're not going to say in Scream 5? I don't get...
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. So basically, this is why, after everything I've said, this is why I've got Scream 6 at the bottom.
Well, I think it has flaws. Wrong.
The best thing about it is the cast. That's the best thing about it.
Oh, and
we should also say... Sorry, no, what were you going to say?
I had so much fun watching this movie. I totally recommend you, if you haven't seen it, go. And
would you recommend it if they haven't seen Scream 5?
Oh, well, of course not.
Right. Hannah, that's directed at you.
But it's fun. It's what you want for a Friday night, or going on a date and then have drinks after it. So much fun. Of course, I will say you need to compare it with something, because it's a franchise and everything. At least go and watch Fifth.
Yeah.
But I think it's solid. It's so much fun. A lot of blood, killings, up and downs, and who is doing it, who is here, who is not here. Where have you been? Like, I don't trust you. Love it.
I like it.
Mm, oh, well.
And
that's Callum being super...
Demi Lovato's song is a banger, by the way.
I fucking
still
hate
like...
it. Nope.
No, it's a good song, nope. though. Hizella hates Demi Lovato now because everybody hates Demi Lovato, but we did go and see her live in Canada. You used to really like her.
Yes, when
but
she
now
has
she's
good
been canceled.
Songs.
Well, I'll tell you what's a good song. Still Alive.
No, it's not.
Because I'm still alive. It's a banger.
No, it's not. Anyway.
Anyway,
don't
that's
think so.
Scream 6. I feel like I'm I don't know, pissing in the wind? Is that the phrase?
What's pissing on the window?
Pissing out the window. I said pissing in the wind.
I never heard that. Pissing in the wind.
As in, like, anything I'm saying is just going to get blown back on me. Like, nobody's agreeing with me.
Yeah, nobody.
Everybody's like, it's third best. And I'm like, it's sixth best.
Well, I can rank stuff, so okay. I can tell you. But I only think I can say it's better than the fifth.
I disagree.
Yeah, you already said that.
I know, but I just want to recap. So.
I just need to recap. Well, I can't recap because I can't say.
Gisella can't rank things, yeah. But she does think this is better than Scream.
Yes, that's all I can.
Can you tell me why? Like, do you just think it's more fun?
I have more fun watching this one. Okay. And I watch both in the cinema, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I had so much fun. I enjoyed this one more. I don't know. Maybe in the first one, I didn't know what to expect. So I don't know if I had so many expectations. But in this one, I was like, just give me whatever you have. And I loved it.
Interesting. We disagree.
What?
Yeah, it's fine. We both like Megan, though, so that's fine. And Cocaine Bear. Anyway... I think that's everything. Gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.